You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Gary Capewell, Andrew Mount and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well, with jumping at Newbury, Doncaster, Kelso and Stratford. Some graded races along the way as well. And we also have all weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield alongside that. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Mark. Thank you very much.
Good man. We'll start this edition of the podcast with a bit of news, as we usually do. News about Balthazar King is very positive. Apparently he's working very well ahead of his bid to regain his cross-country title. And it's good to see him. It would be great to see him back, won't it, given that we thought he might never race again at Aintree.
Yeah, he's a remarkable horse, because he obviously had that horrific accident at Aintree where he was broadsided, and we weren't entirely sure he would survive that, and he broke several ribs. It was a really bad injury.
Yeah.
And if you actually go back in time, when he won the cross country chase the first time around, he actually burst a valve in his heart.
Really?
He was a millimetre away from death there. He managed to recover. I thought, well, that'll be retirement at the very least, but he managed to come back and prove himself as good as ever. He's been an absolute star from day one. The minute he jumped a fence for Philip Hobbs, he looked a really nice sort, and he's done well to achieve what he has. He's had any number of brushes with accidents at the very least.
Yeah.
He also had a scenario with I think it was at Crayon in France where he got taken out very badly, but he keeps coming back for more, and he's a horse that people love. I know the race itself isn't exactly one of the favourites at the festival, but horses who keep coming back and doing it again and again become favourites with the crowd very quickly, and he's definitely that.
Yeah, I love Balthazar King. I'm one of the fans of the cross country. It's something a bit different at the festival, and if you walk out, you can walk out into the course.
That's a big plus. If you get yourself out of the warmth and out onto the course itself, yeah, then you get a really good view of that, and they come very close to you, and that is a really good way of seeing the cross country. So if you get an opportunity to do that, then by all means, take it.
Yeah, definitely do. 6-1, by the way, in the betting for Balthazar King. Other festival stories knocking about, but we've kind of discussed those. There's nothing real breaking at the moment. So in terms of a portfolio for the festival, or anything you're particularly looking forward to, what would you throw forward now?
Oh, I say. Normally there are two or three that I would consider to be solid bets at this stage. But some of us are just recovering from having babies recently, or it's more my wife's job. But in fairness, it takes up an awful lot of your time. So although I'm looking through all the festival races at the moment, I'm doing so with a very objective eye, and I haven't had a single anti-post bet yet. So we'll see how it goes. I would love to see Sprinter Sacra win the Champion Chase, and I was delighted to hear both jockey and trainer talking about riding him positively, because that's something that I'm very strong on. And I think if he is ridden the way that connections are talking about riding him, then it could be the race of the festival. If you get Undersoul going off in front, possibly with Special Tiara, and then Sprinter Sacra coming to take them on at halfway, if you see those three in the air over the third last fence, that will be the spectacle of the entire week. And hopefully we will see that. But I'm sure, as we've seen before in the past, you get served up some tremendous races, sometimes where you least expect them.
Yeah. Certainly. All right. Well, what do you make of the Champion Hurdle picture, by the way? Because I haven't spoken to you since all of the Fohin coming out.
Yeah, it's a strange scenario. I think you tend to look at the race without Fohin when he was in it in a very different way than you would look at the race now that he doesn't run.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those, well, oddly enough, the way I looked at the race without Fohin was Arctic Fire is a great bet for second, isn't he? Because he'd be ridden to pick up the pieces late on. And although you wouldn't necessarily back him to win in a race without Fohin, Betting Without Faugheen, where he was running, would have been for me almost a gift, and that's the way the betting was. He was a strong favourite without Faugheen, whereas when Faugheen came out, he then wasn't favourite for the race afterwards. But of course, it wasn't too long before he was ruled out as well, and suddenly we've got a different contest altogether. Nichols Canyon and Identity Thief, I think, are the main two horses. I still don't think that the Brits have a great chance of winning, and I don't say that as a biased Irishman. I've been here for 20 odd years, 25 years and more actually, now that I think about it. So
it's been any longer than I have, and I'm an Englishman.
I very much sit in the fence in that regard, but I think it's very tough for the likes of the new one, who's had his issues, or My Tender Yours, who's coming back from 2 years without a run, to win it. And the rest of the English challenge seems a little bit weak. So the race that Nichols Canyon won over Christmas, beating Identity Thief, I think is the key race. And if you go back and look at that again, the runner-up travelled much the best through that race, and he will travel better than anything, and he will sit behind the leaders. So a strong pace will potentially would be an issue for Nichols Canyon if he's trying to make it. But Identity Thief should travel really well, and has possibly been a little bit underrated, given that he's very lightly raced. He won the Fighting Fifth, which is a very good trial for this. It wasn't a very strong race, but of course, he's developed a fair bit since.
Yeah.
We haven't seen too much of him. He's been given a good rest since Christmas, and I think he should be favourite for the race. But it'll be interesting to see how they line up in the day. And of course, he doesn't have that Cheltenham experience that others do. So yeah, it's a race where you can take very, very sides. One horse I was very negative about earlier in the year was Old Guard, because he was tipped up for the champion back in November when he won a handicap at Cheltenham. And I thought that was crazy. He's about the same price now.
Yeah.
Half the field has come out, and he's been looked after since running in the Christmas hurdle, which Paul Nichols admits was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Paul's not particularly promising. He's not very upbeat about him. He thinks he's got a chance of hitting the frame. I went to the media day at his yard, and I thought the horse who looked best there, the horse who really took the eye, was Old Guard.
Right.
And I think actually he's probably the each way value at 25-1 or thereabouts at the moment. I'm not sure what price he is with Hills, but he's been forgotten, and because his trainer, who's normally very bullish about his horses, hasn't been bigging him up and isn't talking about running him in the champion hurdle next year, he's talking about going chasing with him. He's liable to be a biggish price, and I can't see him winning it, but in a weak race I think he might end up being the best of the British challenge.
He's 20-1 at the moment. Do you think they'll, obviously with the negative comments as well, well not negative but not as bullish, they'd just ride him for a place, kind of like we saw with Arctic Fire last year, and then he might just pick up the piece and get a bit of place?
I don't know. That's a different kettle of fish altogether. I think when he ends up lining up, Paul gets very competitive, so we won't be looking to he'll ride the horse as he was ridden as far as he can on both his runs at Cheltenham this season. Of course, that's also very important. His best runs this season have come at Cheltenham. He was disappointing in the Triumph last year, or disappointing as a juvenile after a good start, but he's clearly grown up an awful lot now, and he's a type who clearly is developing with time. So a break since December is liable to see more improvement from him. And sometimes Mr. Nichols is quiet about the horses that are genuinely fancied until late in the day.
Yeah.
But I mean, last year, for example, Au Petit Soin won the Coral Cup.
Yeah.
It didn't want to talk about the horse at all at his open day, and plenty of people were asking questions because he was rumoured to be a handicap good thing, or laid out for the handicap, and Paul said he knew nothing about him. He'd galloped him a couple of times, but he had no idea where he stood. And then of course the horse landed a big gamble in the not suggesting that Paul was behind that, but he landed a bit of a gamble in the Coral Cup, and Paul is now talking about him as a potential Gold Cup winner.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
We shall. Interestingly, out of all of that, you haven't mentioned Annie Power.
No, I think she's a dreadful favourite, isn't she? I mean, I love Annie Park.
Do you think she'll?
And I really wanted to see her in this 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I wanted her to run in the champion hurdle. I thought that would have made a tremendous race, but it was never really going to happen. She went to the world hurdle and finished second. She should be, if she was trained for the race.
Yeah,
you know, then I give her a chance. She's not been trained for the race, and she's had an injury. She's had injury problems for the last two seasons. She achieved nothing when she came back on her return. That was a schooling session. That was it.
Yeah.
She wasn't pulling away from her rivals at the end. She didn't have to, of course. She was massively superior. But the two behind her were in no mood to take her on either. They had their own private race. So we learnt nothing there other than she came home sound, which is clearly very important. But she hasn't run over 2 miles in a long time. I think, as I said, if she was trained specifically for the champion hurdle, and of course Willie has won it with Faugheen, who had run over 3 miles prior to winning the champion hurdle, so it would be no issue for him generally. But of course, this is now an afterthought. She will end up running here, obviously, but the price is completely wrong at this stage. She's probably not his best chance of winning, and Nichols Canyon's got more chance on paper than she does, really. So I think she'll end up being quite a big drifter. She does have claims. I'm not saying she's got no chance, but she's been put in very, very short in the market, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, I think bookies didn't want to take a chance. She's a popular horse as well, isn't she?
Yeah, so she's bound to attract a lot of money because she's virtually unbeaten through her career, and she's going to take an awful lot of cash, but she's got a bit to prove.
Let's leave that there because we've talked about the Cheltenham Festival for long enough. We must concentrate on Saturday's racing because it's fast approaching, and we'll get Rory's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday's action. We're going to concentrate on four races, mainly four of the Channel 4 races, but we're just going to have a quick look at one at Kelso, the 350 there, the Premier Chase, a listed race over 2 miles and seven furlongs, probably because Many Clouds is going to run here as he's prepped for the Grand National. Is this his for the taking?
Very much so. He's got Union East to beat, and Union East is still capable of very decent form, but the others shouldn't really count. There are nice horses in there. Perfect Candidate will be interesting if he goes for the Kim Muir at the Cheltenham Festival, for example. That's probably a prep for that. But in terms of class, Many Clouds is a long way ahead of these, including Union East, and in a different league to the others. He shaped tremendously well in the Betbright Trial at Cheltenham, where he travelled better than Smart Place. Everyone's latched onto Smart Place as a Gold Cup outsider, and rightly so. But if you watch that race until the second last, there's only one winner, and that was Many Clouds. And he just got tired, and he wasn't beaten up because, of course, his sole aim this year is the Grand National, and he's got a big chance. We've rarely seen a horse with such a good chance of winning back-to-back Grand Nationals as this fella since Red Rum. Yes, he'll be looked after tomorrow, but I don't think it really matters. I think he's just different class, and he'll gallop all the way. The ground is coming in his favour as well. I think there's a bit of good to soft officially in the going description, but there's plenty of rain around, and I think it'll ride a bit more testing than that. He really is a class act, and he doesn't know how not to try. That's the other thing. You can't give him an easy ride. He will do everything he can to win, and he should prove too good, giving just £4 to Union East.
On to the action at Newbury anyway. That's what we're going to focus mainly on here. The 215 at Newbury is where we start. This one is a Veterans Handicap Chase. It's a Class 2 event over 3 miles, well, almost three and a quarter miles. We do have betting on site as well. Pete Lafitte, the 5-1 market leader at the time of recording this. 6-1 for Restless Harry, same difference, 8s. 10s for Ben Ben's Relax and Shot of Vodka. 11-1 for Pinot de Rey, and 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. I quite like these Veterans chases.
Yeah, it's hard. If you've got any kind of heart at all, it's hard not to like the Veterans races. People know the horses well. It's a good opportunity for horses who are thoroughly exposed to win more races. They're not up against improvers, generally speaking. There is the vague possibility that a 10-year-old might be unexposed at a trip and still improving, but generally speaking, you're not being picked off by horses who are plotted up. So trainers really like it, and it gives these old stars a chance to shine again. And a lot of them seem to get a new lease of life doing it, which makes them very popular as well. Sometimes you'll find horses who get to the age of 11 or 12 and still have a bit of an appetite for the game end up being retired because, you know, the handicapper's got them. But these sort of races give them a chance to still be competitive. This is a tough one. I'm keen on the chances, and you're taking a little bit of a shot in the dark, and it's disappointing that at the Hills prices he's only about 6-1, but same difference is probably the most interesting horse in this race.
He's 8-1 with Hills.
Oh, 8-1. Well, 8-1's better then, isn't it? But he's towards the head of them. I thought he'd be double figure price, to be honest.
Yeah.
But given his form figures read pulled up, fifth, pulled up, with a big break in between, you'd have thought he might be a big price. But there are reasons to think that he can be fully revived, I think. He's a former Cheltenham Festival winner, won the Kim Muir 3 seasons ago as a youngster. He's only a 7-year-old. Had a really hard race there. It was Ryan Hatch's first big win. And he then went on to finish second in what we tend to refer to as the Whitbread Gold Cup. Ran the race of his life there. Things have not gone well for him since, but I think he developed possibly a back problem, because from being a very good jumper, jumping around Cheltenham and Sandown to run so well, his jumping just fell apart 2 seasons ago for Nigel Twist and Davis. He couldn't pick his feet up at all. He blundered his way around what pulled up in the Whitbread, in inverted commas, in 2014. Since when, although he stays in the same colours, he's moved stables and has gone to Warren Greatrex. He would benefit from I would suggest he's had whatever problem he had looked at and fixed. Otherwise, he wouldn't be bringing him back at all. And although he pulled up at Taunton on his reappearance, that was in dreadful ground, which he wouldn't really handle. Yep. He's essentially a horse who's at his best on ground good or soft and no worse than that. Was badly churned up at Taunton. And he actually travelled well for a fair way in that race and was pulled up quickly when he began to weaken. He was looked after there. And the most important thing is he didn't make a mistake in that race. Mm-hmm. He jumped soundly until he was pulled up. So his big issue has been his jumping. That seemed to be rectified on his return. And although the handicap hasn't dropped him for it, I expect him to do an awful lot better with that behind him. It's also interesting that if he picks up a penalty for this, he will get into whatever race he wants at the festival, essentially. Mid-130s is the mark you're looking for virtually every handicap now, the way the ratings are going. He's rated 130 now. You get a mandatory £5 penalty for winning at this stage for one of the Cheltenham handicaps, and it's a good time to pick that up. You just about got enough time to recover from a race like this. So he's very interesting from that point of view. It's just a little disappointing that you're not getting fancy odds about him, but I think he's the most interesting runner in the race. The solid option is Pete Defeat. He keeps running his race. He was runner-up at Sandown last time out, having finished fourth in, was it the North Yorkshire Grand National in his previous start. Always runs his race. He's gone up £3 for getting beaten by Le Rev at Sandown last time out. Le Rev, a really, really decent horse at the likes of Sandown and Kempton. Was a little disappointing in the Betfred Chase last time, but that form is solid and he'll run his race again. He's probably vulnerable now that he's gone up £3 in the weights, though. But if you're looking for one for the place bot, he's the obvious starting point, because a lot of these have got slightly patchy form as they've got older, but he's very consistent. The other one that was interesting, although again the price is rather disappointing for one who can be hard to catch, right, is Restless Harry. He's fallen a fair way in the weights. He was rated in the about at 150 18 months ago. He's down to 133 now. He caught the eye at Bangor in his return in what looked a decent race. He hasn't really backed that up in two runs since, including in the Veterans Final at Sandown, and ran poorly at Haydock last time out. I could see him bouncing back, and Newbury will suit him better than Haydock, but he's not a great price. You probably want double figure prices to get involved with him. Paddy Brennan takes over, which will turn a lot of people onto him, and Paddy's riding tremendously well at the moment. A jockey who looked to be going nowhere 18 months ago, has ridden lots of big winners, but his career seemed to be in free fall. But this year he's a different man altogether. That retainer to ride Q Card and the Bishop horses has helped him greatly, but he's riding with huge confidence, as he showed when he won the big race last week. So that's a positive for him, although I must say James Davis, who's been riding him, is an underrated jockey. And I wouldn't necessarily say that Paddy Brennan is £7 better there. Mm-hmm. But he's interesting. And if he drifts a bit from his prices, then I'll have a look at him. But as it stands, I'm going to go with Same Difference.
Yeah, I've been waiting for Same Difference to bounce back for a while now. Won the Kimmy R of 137, and he's off 138. Should be able to operate.
Well, and for a horse who's 10, he's not had that much racing, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's obviously a little racing in the last 18 months. And it'd be disappointing if he can't find his way back to something like his best form.
Let's move on to the 250 at Newbury next. This one is a handicap hurdle, a Class 3 event over 2 miles, a field of 11 here. The market headed by St. Charles, who's 3-1, 72 for Wells de Lune, Galaball is 5-1, Boat is 7-1, 10s for King's Bayonet, 12-1 for Gabriel the Great, and 14s or bigger for the others. Who would you side with in that?
There's only one horse to be with in this race, and you could have concerns about whether he'd be able to show his form, having been off the track for over a year. But in terms of form, St. Charles is a massive standout, an absolutely massive standout. Mainly because his form was coming in novices over a year ago, and no one knew how those races were going to work out when he was rated. So the handicap has given him a mark of 131. When he won at Doncaster last January, he beat a pair of horses who are now rated 140 and beat them easily. And then his last run, he was second. And some would say it's slightly disappointing second, having looked all over the winner with two to jump, to a horse called Thistlecrack.
He's all right, that guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And with Thistlecrack, well, I mean, his rating could be through the roof, quite frankly, couldn't it? He's not been extended this season. He should have essentially gone unbeaten since that. And St. Charles, if the handicap... Well, the handicap does have another chance of doing it. I saw Phil Smith talking about handicapping methods and having to go back to races and race horses. And strictly speaking, St. Charles really should be a stone higher than he is. But he hasn't raced since February. And I think the handicapper takes a view that if a horse has had a layoff for whatever reason, then it's fair to give them a chance. So he has been engaged to run elsewhere within the last couple of months, St. Charles. He did have an entry in early January. So clearly he's been vaguely ready to go for a while. The fact that he hasn't taken up an engagement might suggest that he's had niggly problems. But again, he's rated 131. He would look, if he was continuing to go the right way, he would look very, very well treated for either the Martin Pipe or the Coral Cup at Cheltenham. But he won't get into either of those races off 131.
No.
So if he is going to make a name for himself, he's got to be winning tomorrow. Now, the risk involved there is that he may have had his issues. Nicky Henderson didn't speak about him at his media day. But then again, he does run in a certain set of silks where you wouldn't necessarily be told the time of day. So he's very interesting. And I think at 3-1, you can take a chance. You wouldn't back him each way.
No.
If he doesn't win this, I don't think he'd be finishing second, put it that way. But I think you should take a chance on him because his handicap mark is a good £10 wrong at the very least.
All right, St. Charles then in the 250 at Newbury. The 325 is the last race we look at Newbury anyway. This is the Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap Chase, a grade three event of almost 2.5 miles. The betting is headed by Art Moresque, who's 5-1, 13-2 for Samatagal, Little John Sevens, 8 for Benny's Mist, off the ground 8-1 as well, as is Ultra Gold, Pythagore. How would you say that?
I don't know, because it's French, you see.
Yeah.
It's a bit of Pythagoras, but done by the French. Pythagore.
10-1 for that one anyway. Generous ransom 10s as well, and 14s are bigger for the others. Quite an open event, Rory. What did you like in there?
Yeah, it's a really good race. It's a race that one trainer's done especially well in over the years, and that's Paul Nichols, who won it with Sound Investment last year, and he's also won it in recent years with what's called Pasha de Polder. Whatever happened to him? Ariel, rather disappointing horse on the whole, Ariel, but still won this. If you remember, Big Fella Thanks.
Yeah.
When did we last see him finishing behind Pasha de Polder the other day? Won it back in 2010. So Nichols has done tremendously well with it. And he's got the right favourite here in the shape of Art Moresque. I tipped him up when he ran in the December Gold Cup at Cheltenham. And he's a wee bit disappointing that day. But that was right in the middle of a period where Paul Nichols could not train a winner over fences. And that was exemplified by the fact that his stable star pulled up in the King George in a race that he'd won twice before. So for whatever reason, the chasers weren't firing.
Yeah,
I suspect there's been a virus in the yard. Again, going down to Paul's open day, he almost said the word and stopped himself from saying it, because everyone has issues occasionally, and basically suggesting that some of his horses were suffering from a cough or a low-grade virus. A lot of trainers don't like talking about it because they think it ends up, people get wary of it. But certainly a lot of the horses in December and early January were affected by that. They're all running much better now. And Art Moresque had shaped extremely well when fourth in the Paddy Power prior to that, looking like he was fairly well handicapped. He's still a young horse and improving. His owner, Johnny Delahaye, possibly one of the biggest owners in the yard really at the moment, when you look at the number of horses individuals have with Paul Nichols. Does love a winner at Newbury. Very good record at Newbury. For whatever reason, the owner likes horses aimed at Newbury races, or it could be complete fluke, but that tends to be the case. But he's the right favourite for this race, and I wouldn't put anyone off him. It's a tough contest, though. And I will be going against him because I've got a cliff horse in this race with an opinion as well. Little John is a horse I've always liked. The key to him is very, very simple indeed. He can't go to Cheltenham.
No.
He can't. He's a horse who has got no concept of how to shorten up at a fence. So all he can do is see a stride and look for a big one. And the perfect track in the country for that is Newbury, because it's a big, wide, galloping track where all the fences, they're big and wide. And there's no sort of downhill or uphill fences. You can always see a stride. If you can get in the clear, which you usually can at Newbury, then you should be able to set yourself up for any fence. At Cheltenham, when you're turning a fair bit more and you do have uphill and downhill gradients, you've got to shorten up at your fences sometimes. And they just can't do that. Nigel Twisson Davis got a world-renowned event rider in to try to teach him to do that last year. Didn't work. He's gone to Cheltenham a couple of times since and jumped like a pig, quite frankly. But he travels like a good horse in his races, even at Cheltenham, and looks well handicapped. And if you look at his form away from Cheltenham, he looks a different horse altogether. Yeah. One easily at Uttoxeter. He bolted up on his chase debut at Newton Abbott against a couple of horses who were expected to be miles better than him over fences. And he ran the race of his life when winning at Newbury at the Hennessy meeting. Back at Newbury over the same sort of trip. We'll see the best of him. He's rated at 143 now. I think he's a 150 horse, essentially.
Right.
So although he's no good thing in a race as competitive as this, I think he's guaranteed to run his race. Wayne Hutchinson's a very interesting jockey for this as well. Of course, with the highlight of Wayne Hutchinson's career so far is that superb ride he gave to Smart Place in the Hennessy here.
Yeah.
And clearly, it's a track that that he likes riding. And Little John, with a fairly positive ride, which I think he's guaranteed to get from Wayne, is going to go close. There are a few horses who are difficult to weigh up. You've got the French coming over to give this a go, and it's very, very difficult to equate French and UK form.
Yeah.
Some of the best horses we've ever seen who've come across from France haven't looked like world beaters, whereas a lot of people have gone to France and picked up horses who look world beaters who can't win races here. So
yeah.
It's not easy to equate the pair. Emmanuel Cléo's horse, Pythagore or Pythagore or whatever you want to call it, is getting a bit long in the tooth for this sort of thing now, to be perfectly honest. And it's difficult, again, it's hard to know what his rating represents. And I think bookmakers, as a rule, will play it safe. I think he's going to be a drifter on the day. I've no idea how he's going to run. This track, at least, will suit him, given that it's the French courses tend to be similarly flat.
Mm.
Whereas if you see a French horse going to Cheltenham the first time out, the fences can catch them out there. But yes, he's interesting enough. Ultra Gold is short as well. He's a single figure price because Colin Tizard was talking up his chances at a recent media day, and that's the thing. Whoever's yard you go to and you ask them about their horses, they're going to be positive about some of their horses.
Yeah.
And when that happens to be reported, then those horses tend to be short. Ultra Gold's been an exceptionally hard horse to win with. I've backed him several times. I think he's had win problems. He's definitely had at least one wind operation, and he won at Wincanton last time out. Whether that was after another tweak or not, I don't know. Colin can't predict him either. He doesn't know when he's going to run a decent race. He got his head in front last time, but he's not really the type to string two good efforts back to back. So I'd want to be against him. Laserhawk's vaguely interesting at the bottom there. He ran really well here in November again at the Hennessy meeting, but has disappointed twice since at Warwick and Taunton. At least at Taunton, he looked like he was going to win. Before fading late on, and Newbury brings out the best in him, so he could bounce back. But Little John, it is for me.
Little John then for Rory in that one, and just nipping to Doncaster for one race as well. We're going to take in the Grimthorpe Chase there, which is at 3:45, a handicap over 3.25 miles, field of 8 for this year's renewal. What would you start with there, Rory?
Without the shadow of a doubt, Band of Blood. A horse we haven't seen much of here, but he was fourth in the Irish Grand National last year from Mouse Morris. Lost his way afterwards and looked a little bit tricky, but he's gone to the right yard. He's gone to the perfect yard. He runs in the same colours as Pinot de Ray, the colours of John Proven. And he was running over a trip that was too short for him last time out. So you can see immediately what the plan was. The plan for Dr. Newland was to give him a sighter over a trip too short, aiming him at a race in excess of 3 miles. And here he is, rocking up for the Grimthorpe. And he's got a massive chance here because the conditions have gone against most of the rest of the field. We were expecting this to be running good ground. There are 20 horses engaged this morning. The vast majority of those have come out. And even those left in aren't ideally suited by conditions. The Druid's nephew wants good ground. I don't know whether he even stays in the race, but they've declared him, so we'd imagine he will. Dropout Joe did win the Badger Ales at Wincanton and Softish ground last time, but the rest of his form is all on good to firm ground, so he doesn't want it really deep. And I think they were hoping for good ground here entering him. The Last Samurai is going the right way and is interesting enough, but he's going to be favourite for this, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that's worth mentioning is Sago Success, who fell at the second fence when strongly fancied for the Classic Chase at Warwick last time out, before jumping around loose the rest of the way. He stays very well and handles all ground, so the softer it gets, the more of a stamina test it will be, and that will suit him better than most. So I'd probably put him in as the value aside from Band of Blood, but I can see Band of Blood being well supported for this. This looks like a bit of a plan for me the best big race planner in the country in Richard Newland.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's the case, and if it is, he'll certainly be coming in for support.
All right, good stuff. As usual, Rory, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections then for Saturday.
In the 2:15 at Newbury, that's the Veterans Chase. I've weighed in with same difference there. The 2:50, St Charles is the only sound choice in that. In the big race, the Great Wood Gold Cup, Little John, and then it's Band of Blood and the Grimthorpe up at Doncaster.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
And Rory will be in the studio on Saturday. He'll be joined by Gary Capewell and Andrew Mount. We've got racing at Newbury and Doncaster, as we already discussed. Good racing at Kelso as well. And Stratford and Lingfield complete a busy Saturday afternoon lineup. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.